And you are listening to Episode 5 of Vinton County on the Air, recorded October the 18th, 2013. And welcome, everybody, to this, the fifth episode of Vinton County on the Air. As I mentioned, recorded on the 18th of October, 2013. We welcome you in. Already the fifth edition. It seems like we've only been doing this for about a month and maybe a week or so. Haha. Anyway, last week, you recall, if you listened in, that we had a little common thread to the bump music, and I asked you to let me know what the common thread was. Unfortunately, no one submitted the correct answer, and to those who care, that all the music was from the movie Anchorman, just something a little different. Today's bump music has a common thread, too, so if you're inclined, let me know what you think it is, and if you have a guess, you can drop me a note at VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. Again, I can't stress enough that I need your involvement in the show. I need you to contribute, subscribe, and share. Henceforth, we'll call that CS squared because of the initials for it. Contributing by giving me emails about community events or show ideas and so forth at VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. And then there's voicemail. You can drop me a voicemail at 740-569-3254. Your message will be delivered to me, and we can use it in the show if you are able to record something there for me. Facebook is always an option. All of you obviously know about our Facebook page. That's probably how you found it, found us at this time, and that is Vinton County on the Air. And we can post there or just direct message me, I believe, at that as well. We're on Twitter, too, and you can follow us. The handle there is Vinton County OTA, Vinton County OTA. So there are lots of ways you can contribute. Subscribing, it's a little bit different. There are a couple ways you can subscribe. If you're a podcast listener, you can do so through iTunes. We're on iTunes, and if you see us on iTunes, please give us a rating. They have a rating system there that will help us show up for more people on iTunes as well. And you can subscribe there using the podcast app on your iPhone, iPad, or even your iPod. If you're not into those items, you can go to the website Stitcher. And Stitcher is something that's getting a lot of it's gaining a lot of ground in the podcast world. It makes it easy for those that listen to podcasts on a computer specifically. It also has an app for iPods and iPads, iPhones. So you can do that. You can always go to the DBK Media Services website. And there, if you a bunch of different kind of podcasts. I do a podcast for the SVC Sports Zone currently, and this podcast, they're all listed on the page that you'll get to by going to dbkmediaservices.com. If you want to kind of segregate out the Vinton County on the Air episodes, look on the right-hand side of the page. There is a category listing. You can click on that category listing, and just the Vinton County on the Air podcast will come up. So you can do that. And then subscribing from there, you can subscribe by email. Once you get into each and every post of Vinton County on the Air, there is a place where you can submit your email address. You do that, hit the subscribe button. You will get an email into your email account. You click on a link that's in that email. It comes from FeedBurner, which is a Google company, so I don't think you have to worry too much about any kind of malicious software or anything like that. I've had no reports of that, and I've used this for a couple years now on the other podcasts. So you can subscribe by doing that, and then each and every time there is an episode of Vinton County on the Air published, you will get an email. It contains the posting, and it will contain a link to the podcast, which you can just click on, and that way you don't have to go anyplace, although I'd always like you to go to my website. And finally, specifically for those of you who are following us on Facebook, first, if you're not doing that, we'd really like you to go to Facebook and like our page. We're nearing in on that 500 like category. And while there's no magic about that, I'd just like to get there. I think we're something like 482. So if any and all of you can like us, we'll show up in your news feed. And I'm trying to get some more postings throughout the week of events to help us be reminded of things on our calendar and so forth. So this past week, there was one post in particular. It was shared out by just five people, and it quickly became the most widely seen post since the Vinton County On the Air page was created. So you can do that by just searching for Vinton County On the Air on Facebook and go to any post, and you can then hit the share, which is down at the bottom right under any of the posts. So those are kind of the preliminaries today. We've got a good show, several interesting topics coming up, and we'll talk about those right after this. Remember that I said there's a little common thread this time. You might look for that for the bump music. Anyway, later in today's show, we're going to have our touch of local sports as Carl Knox talks with the Vinton County Vikings volleyball coach Ashley Graves. That interview is coming up towards the end of our show. In the meantime, we're also going to talk to Lori Gruppenhoff, who is at the Lake Hope State Park, about various things that they've got going there. And each time I talk to some of these guests, I try to include some of their background, specifically when we talk to them the first time that we do so. I was not familiar with Lori's background, although it comes, we found out in talking that we actually knew one another when we were actually younger. So another lost connection made, and I think it's interesting as we introduce some of these people on the Vinton County On the Air that we kind of get to know them a little bit. So we talked to Lori about her background, and then we talked to her specifically about the Roar event that's coming up at Lake Hope State Park a week from this Saturday. I believe it's on the 26th, I believe. We'll check that in a little bit. And then we're also going to talk with a gentleman who many of us know in Vinton County, and he is known as a local funny man. He's also a car dealer in Athens, but he's followed his dreams, that person being Carlin Haggerty, and we'll talk with him in just a little bit after we get through a couple things. But let's go first to our calendar of events as we look at the events for the week coming up, and we'll take a look into the future as well and see what's on the radar for the next few weeks. I'm afraid I could probably listen to that song all day. One of my favorites, actually. Anyway, calendar events. It's going to be a busy time over the next couple of days for people in and around Vinton County. Tonight, October the 18th, we have the Vinton County varsity football game versus Athens, and this is homecoming. So many activities going on this weekend related to that. Gets underway at 7:30 tonight. We'll have the crowning of the queen during halftime. Today, if you're listening to this right as we publish, I want to remind you that there is the book sale continuing at the Herbert Westcote Memorial Library. That goes until 4 p.m. tonight. This afternoon, we have also the grand opening of Sojourners Recycling Center, which is just 62969 U.S. Highway 50 west of MacArthur. And we want to mention that throughout this period of time we're reviewing, the Vinton County Choir and Drama Boosters fruit sale is ongoing until the end of October. And you can contact any participating choir and drama member. They will be selling fruit, basically citrus and apples. And the fruit actually gets delivered to you later in December, right prior to the holidays and so forth. And so you can buy some now. You pay for it when the fruit is delivered. So that pretty much covers Friday, October the 18th. On October the 19th, Saturday, it's a very busy day around Vinton County. Some of our cross-country members are going to the district meets in Rio Grande. We have the Vinton County Youth Volleyball, 4th through 6th grade, taking place beginning at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow at Vinton County High School. The Vinton County Health Department is having a flu clinic tomorrow as well at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Again, the Herbert Westcope Memorial Library book sale is taking place. It wraps up tomorrow, 9:30 to 12 at the library. That's sponsored by the Friends of the Library. Something that's going on at Lake Hope, which I didn't know of until just the other day, and that is the 34th annual fall hike. I believe it's a 3-mile hike. It takes place from, begins at 10 a.m. and basically whenever you guys get back from the hike is when it will be over, obviously. It's a 3-mile hike, and I believe it begins at the Nature Center. Tomorrow there is a horse show. It's the final horse show of the year at the Junior Fairgrounds north of MacArthur. That gets underway at 11 a.m. And then tomorrow night, actually beginning tomorrow at noon, something we're going to talk with Carlin about in a little bit is the Lisa Haggerty fundraiser. Lots of loves and laughs for Lisa is what they're billing it as, and that takes place at the MacArthur VFW. And, of course, something we covered last week is occurring tomorrow. That's the 5th annual Vinton County High School Alumni Celebration. It gets underway at 6 p.m. with a social time followed by a program at 7. And then after the program is over, it moves to the MacArthur Fire Department Social Hall. That admission is $10. You buy that at the door and hope to see a lot of people come out for that. Randy Yates and his committee have been working very hard on that. They've done so for 5 years. So let's get out and support them and see. Randy was telling me, I think there's 7,000 graduates now of Vinton County High School. And so we ought to be able to get a pretty good crowd for that. On Sunday, October the 20th, I want to remind you that Awana is going on at Grace Baptist Church in the evening on Sunday evening. On Monday, October the 21st, the only thing on the calendar there that I have is the Vinton County Junior Varsity Football against Athens. That is at Athens High School. On October the 22nd, the Friends of the Library monthly meeting is being held beginning at 5 p.m. at the Herbert Westcope Memorial Library. And on Thursday, October the 24th, we have 8th grade football against Wellston. That is at home. There is a movie night, which we talked about with Diana Johnston last week at the Herbert Westcope Memorial Library. I believe that is Young Frankenstein. And there's also going to be a Victims of Domestic Violence candlelight vigil at the Vinton County Courthouse. That gets underway at 7:30 p.m. Carlin Haggerty is actually going to be at that event as well, serving as an MC, and we encourage you to come out and support the Victims of Domestic Violence. We'll be back with you on Friday, October the 25th, but I want to mention that the varsity football game that evening is at Nelsonville York High School, and obviously that'll get underway at 7:30. Other things that are going on out in the future that we want to make mention of, Tuesday, October the 29th, there is a MacArthur United Methodist Soup and Sandwich Supper. Say that 10 times real fast. That begins at 4 p.m. and runs until 6:30 p.m. at the MacArthur United Methodist Church. And something else even further afield, but worthy of our mention, is on Thursday, November 7th, the Vinton County Chamber of Commerce reverse raffle gets underway. MacArthur Fireman's Hall, you can obtain tickets to that at the Chamber office on West Main Street or from Chamber board members. So that is our calendar of events. And a reminder again, I would like to include your event for this calendar of events. If you have that, you can submit it to any of the via any of the methods that I mentioned earlier in the program, best probably is email VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com. So I'd like to include that. And I want to mention that I've been including the calendar in each of the posts on DBK Media Services website. So if you go to the post of the show on that website, and that's the way that you listen to the show, you can actually see all the events on the calendar. Look into the future if you want to see what we've got out there already. So it makes it a little easier to kind of ascertain what's coming up and in the future. So that is our calendar events for this, the 18th day of October, 2013. And welcome back to Vinton County on the Air. For this segment, we're going to talk to a person who has a lot going on particularly on Saturday, October the 26th. And that person is Lori Gruppenhoff. Lori is the Assistant Park Manager with Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Southeast District of the Lake Hope region. Lori, welcome into Vinton County on the Air.
Thank you, Bruce.
Lori, first of all, I thought it would be, since this is your first time on Vinton County on the Air, I thought it would be interesting for people to kind of maybe know a little bit about your job and a little bit about your background. Why don't you start first with your background, where you're from, you know, where you graduated from, and how you got to the position you're in?
Okay. I was born and raised in Vinton County. I actually grew up 1 mile from Lake Hope State Park, so the park itself has been a pretty big part of my life, you know, from taking swimming lessons there when I was younger and up through high school, and also worked in the Dining Lodge during high school. Graduated from Vinton County, attended Ohio University. I then got married, had my son Kyle, and ended up coming back to the park about 7 years later, so I've been here going on 18 years. I started out in cottage reservations and registration. At the park, did that for about 15 years, and then just a few years ago was promoted to assistant park manager.
It sounds like Lake Hope's a very big part of your life.
It has been for many years. You know, living just a mile from here, we enjoyed many of the hiking trails, the beach, the boathouse. So, yeah, Lake Hope, it holds a special place in my heart.
As it does for a lot of us from Vinton County.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, the event that I spoke of earlier is what we call Roar Days. First of all, if you can describe what does Roar stand for, and then we'll talk about why we have it.
Well, Roar stands for Rural Ohio Appalachia Revisited. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for several years now. It was actually started by one of our naturalists, Dave Sapienza, which I'm sure many people know Dave. He has since left Lake Hope and has moved on to other things, but he was a wonderful naturalist here at Lake Hope and was a big supporter of this, of the rural Appalachia.
What is the goal of the event?
Well, I think one of the goals is to let people maybe step back in time and see some of the things that, how people, you know, like spinning wool, you know, it's not something you would see in today's culture. So it's something, whether it be basket weaving or pottery or things of that nature, the vendors here do demonstrate their craft. So that's one of the things that's very interesting. And they're mostly an older fashioned craft, not something you might find today.
Okay. So this is going to take place on Saturday the 26th, as I indicated. What are the times?
Well, the time for the main event is from 10 to 4. And there are 4 venues around the park and just off the park at the old Hope Schoolhouse, the one-room schoolhouse.
Okay. All right. So the events primarily take place at the 4 venues then. So
correct.
Why don't we kind of break this down by venue as to,
okay,
first of all, what are the 4 venues other than we mentioned the Hope Schoolhouse?
Well, we'll be having quite a few vendors at our brand new lodge, which we love.
Sure.
And we're so proud of. Okay. So we'll be having quite a few vendors there. There'll be some crocheting, pottery, corn husk dolls, homemade soaps, candles. And then one thing that's really popular with a lot of folks is flint napping. No one's familiar with that, taking the flint and making arrowheads and things of that nature.
Okay.
And then we'll also, the Friends of Lake Hope will be here. I'm trying to sign up people that want to help out at Lake Hope, which our friends have been a wonderful thing. They do a lot of volunteer work for the park, and all proceeds stay directly 100% at the park. And they're going to sponsor a dog show, which will be at 12:30. And so if anybody has a dog they want to get dressed up and bring down, they can do that.
Okay, so a dog costume contest.
A dog costume contest. We're kind of excited about that.
12:30 at the lodge. And there
is 12:30 at the lodge. It's a $5 entry, and it all goes directly to the Friends of Lake Hope.
Okay, so, and we also want to mention that during this time, the lodge, dining lodge, the restaurant, will be open as well.
They will be open. If anybody's interested, they may want to call the park closer to that time to find out if they're going to be doing any specials or buffets. But whether or not, I think a lot of people from Vinton County have already visited the lodge, and we thank them for that. I mean, they've been a huge supporter of the new lodge and the new restaurant. And, of course, with Eric and Matt, who are running it, we have to give them praise because they've not served a bad meal yet.
Nope.
So, yes, it's they will be open.
And the Lake Hope Lodge, if you are interested in calling them, their phone number is 596-0601, I believe.
Yes,
and
that's correct.
So you can call them or you can call Lori, and we'll give her a phone number here in a little bit, the office at the park. So that's what's going on at the lodge throughout the day, crocheting, spinning, pottery, wood inlays, paintings. There's a whole list of things, and incidentally, I'll mention it later again, but I am going to post on the DBK Media Services website the brochure that you can look at and get, any of this information that we're going over today. So the dog contest and all those various activities going on at the lodge. Why don't we move then to the shelter house, which is, I believe, right where the beach
Beach and boathouse parking lot, you'll find our shelter house. They'll actually, at the beach parking lot, we'll have antique tractors, and that's usually a big draw, especially with some of the little boys.
Mm-hmm.
They love to see those old antique tractors, and then, of course, they'll do a tractor parade over to the water room schoolhouse around noon.
Okay.
So that's something a lot of people like to watch, them fire up the old tractors and take them for a spin.
Okay.
But yes, at the shelter house, one of the big draws is the llamas. They're adorable, and they're very, very friendly. I mean, they tend to spit every once in a while, but that's all the fun of having them there. And then the one lady, she takes some of their fur and stuff and spins it and makes different hats and things like that. So that's pretty neat. And some things you'll see mimicked from the lodge, like soap making. We have another soap maker at our shelter house. Wood carving, watercraft will be there on hand, and there'll be some canoes for people to try out. And then John Hutchison, who has been a big part of our park, he brings his two big percheron horses and does horse-drawn wagon rides, and that's always a huge hit.
And that's going on for what time do the horse?
The horses will be there from 10 to 4.
Okay.
And that's also sponsored by the Friends of Lake Hope.
All right. And if you've never seen John and his teams, they're the gentle giants.
They are. I mean, he'll put the kids up on the horses' backs, and they are there, and it's amazing how, with just a word or a nod or a touch, the horses, follow what John says.
Yep.
I mean, they're very well trained,
very well behaved, and
yes, they are.
I've seen some small little kids get up on those big horses.
I know, on those big horses.
And it's a fun time just to
take
a ride on those on the wagon, and it's a nice wagon to be riding on as well.
Oh, so, it is.
Okay, so that's the lodge and the shelter house. Let's talk about the Hope School, which is a little further afield. I believe it's over on Wheelabout Road, but it's still,
it is. Uh huh.
Let's talk about what goes on there.
Well, Hope School House, even though it's off the park, it is. We try to incorporate it in the park as much as we can. It has a lot of history, so that's one place you're going to be able to walk into and see just what, the history is of the area and of Hope. There'll be vendors there with jellies and quilts. We have a wood carver. A local gentleman will be making cider. Addle, which if nobody knows what that is. It's almost like a spear throwing. So they'll be demonstrating that, and you'll be able to make it or, you know, try it out as well. There'll be a lady over there with looms and spinning, and there'll also be food served there.
Okay. What group is doing the food, do you know?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Okay. You don't know, that's fine.
It's the Rails to Trails group.
Okay.
That is responsible for putting in the they've done so much work on the when the tracks were removed and the trestles were removed from Zaleski clear out past Moonville, they've been responsible for maintaining all that and putting in, I believe they've used some old railroad cars to make new bridges across where the trestles were. And eventually, you know, several years down the road, obviously, because it's all, you know, it's a nonprofit, that it will connect hopefully to Athens, which would make a beautiful, beautiful bike trail.
Sure.
And horseback riding as well.
Okay. So that's going on at the Hope School. And again, that's something that will go from 10 to about 4 o'clock, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
The last venue, if you will, is the Nature Center. And
right.
It looks like you've got a whole raft of things going on there.
We do. We have a lot of things at the Nature Center, and that's, I mean, that's probably one of the big things at the park, and that's what brings people back here, staying at the park every year because they bring their kids. You know, you can decorate pumpkins. They're going to have a nature-themed costume contest. They'll have a couple trick-or-treatings per se, which is basically kids jumping into a pile of straw and finding different candies and treats and novelties and things like that. And then all day long, Heather, our naturalist, will be doing different activities, whether it be pumpkin rolling or just, you know, different games and possibly archery. So there'll be activities going on all day long at the Nature Center.
Okay. Again, you can probably go to the brochure and see this, but the decorating of the jack-o'-lanterns, you're going to get one pumpkin per family, and there is a contest at 5:30. The judging
Correct.
Will be at 5:30.
Yep, there'll be a
present.
Judging for that. And also one other thing that's kind of exciting is and we do this just to encourage people to make sure that they visit all the venues because each one has something different and something different to offer, is you can win a free night in a cottage. So whatever venue you start at first, just ask for one of the little entry cards, and you get it stamped at each venue. So you have to make sure you visit all of them. And then they'll do a drawing at 5 o'clock at the Nature Center, and somebody can win a free night in the cottage.
Okay, and I see that you don't have to be present at the
time
of the
drawing. You do not have to be present to win for that, no.
Okay, so visit all four and put the card in the entry box by the Nature
Center.
Right,
is with your information on there, and if you're not present, we will give you a call.
Okay, one other thing that takes place, I think beginning at the Nature Center after dark, is a haunted hayride. So why don't you tell us about that?
A haunted hayride, yes. Yep, and you know our Nature Center from probably the Nature Center to the very back, which is where we go, of the camp area and back up, is about 2 miles long. So you're getting about a 4 mile wagon ride.
Wow.
It's not horse drawn. It's driven by a tractor, but nonetheless, it's still a wagon ride. And you know we spook some people back there in the back. So you know you want to make sure you're prepared for that. It can get pretty scary.
Okay. And I see that the last ride leaves the Nature Center at 10 p.m.
The last ride leaves at 10. Yes.
Okay. So lots of different things going on that Saturday, October the 26th. It's actually this podcast will be published on the 18th, so it's not the next Saturday. It's the following Saturday, the 26th. I mentioned that I'm going to be able to put the brochure on my website so that you can go there. But if people have other questions, how can they get those answered?
Yeah, they can call the park at any time. Most offices are open from 8 to 5. They can either call 596-5253 or 596-4938. And they don't necessarily have to ask for me. I'm more than willing to talk to anybody if they have any questions. But anybody that answers the phone, they should be able to answer any questions they have about the Roar Day event.
That's great. And most people know where Lake Hope is located, but like I told you before we started recording, I have some out-of-town people that listen to this. I don't know whether they're from this area or not, but why don't we kind of describe in general terms where the park is located?
Well, we're in southeastern Ohio, obviously in Vinton County. We're about 4 miles north of Zaleski and surrounded by Zaleski State Forest. For a broader spectrum, we're probably southeast of Logan or southwest possibly of Athens.
Okay.
I'm sure most folks have heard of those two cities, so it gives a better general idea of maybe where we're at.
All right, Lori, anything else that you think of what we need to go over?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it.
All right. I appreciate it. That is Lori.
I appreciate it, Bruce. Thank
Lori
you.
Lori Gruppenhoff, who is the assistant park manager of the Lake Hope region. And we really appreciate you being on Vinton County on the Air. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you so much.
Well, welcome back to Vinton County on the Air. In this segment, we're going to talk to a person who a lot of us know in Vinton County. He's been seen on stage. He's also seen in car showrooms, primarily in Athens, I do believe. And he's well known to a lot of us, very involved in the community, and his involvement in the community has taken him some great places. So we're going to talk with Carlin Haggerty. Carlin, welcome to Vinton County on the Air.
Well, thank you for having me, Bruce. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Well, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Carlin, you have kind of followed your dream, and that's why I wanted to talk with you. I thought that that's something a lot of us could learn from. I'll just stop, and I'll let you kind of tell us what you wanted to do and what you've done.
Well, ever since I was a little boy, I was fascinated by stand-up comedy and entertainers.
Uh-huh.
And I, the one that pops to mind right now is David Brenner. He's, now he's an older Jewish guy, but he was a younger Jewish guy back then from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was living the life. He got to go on stage and he would tell jokes and he made everything look cool. And I had this vision of leaving southeastern Ohio and sitting in delis in New York having soft pretzels with mustard and telling jokes in the evening and starlets flocking all over me.
I see.
It hasn't happened yet, but I don't know if you know this, but public speaking is one of the top three fears most people have in the United States. They're scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps a lot of people that are very funny people off of the stage.
Mm.
And about 2 years ago, I had always wanted to be a stand-up comedian and, you know, jet set around and have a limo and all these wonderful things that you would picture a comedian doing and having. And 2 years ago, it struck me that I'm not promised tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I know who I've got today, but I'm not promised tomorrow, so let's get with the program and do what we're going to do. They have a open mic over in Chillicothe. It was previously at the Cross Keys Bar and Restaurant. It's now moved over to the bank on 2nd Street. But Lori Graves runs it, and she is a very funny, energetic lady. She's very acerbic, and if you didn't know better, you would thought that she hates everybody in the world, but she doesn't. She's got a lot of love in her heart. She's a very gracious lady. And she invited me to come over. And after about 3 months of back and forth, I finally gathered up all my courage and went over and performed stand-up for the first time in my life.
And how did it go for you?
Well, it was one of the most scariest nights of my life. I rode to Chillicothe with a friend, and I don't think I said two words on the entire trip over to Chillicothe. And I had in my head that I needed to be level-headed and clear-minded, that I needed to be able to tell the jokes that I had written exactly as I had written them.
Mm-hmm.
That went out the window when I stepped inside, and I had to immediately have two adult beverages just to quell my fears.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bruce, I'm going to tell you, I've never been so scared in my entire life. I had about 20 minutes to go on stage, and I really got scared. I mean, hands shaking, couldn't talk, couldn't look at anyone. I even went in the bathroom and got sick. I was nauseous prior to the show.
Wow.
I got up, I cleaned my mouth off, I went on stage, and if I hadn't recorded it, Bruce, I couldn't tell you how it went.
Huh.
I went off my prepared material. I vaguely remember people laughing. The videotape that I took shows that people did laugh, but I'm darned if I could tell you. I mean, it was just sheer terror for 7 minutes that night.
You kind of felt like you were up there by yourself, is that right?
You have no way to deflect any love or hate that comes your way when you're doing stand-up. I've heard musicians that have performed in front of huge crowds tell me they wouldn't get up as a stand-up comedian for love or money because they need to have a guitar in front of them or a drummer behind them or a lead singer.
I guess
they just won't do it.
That's true. You don't have anything up there. No podium, nothing. Maybe the mic stand, and that's it.
And I don't want to sound arrogant, but when you go up on stage to stand up, it's you, your material, your wits, and the audience. And you just got to hope that you're able to win over the audience and make them love you or evoke some kind of response that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing open mics, and that is the entry level in stand-up comedy. You go anywhere there's a show, you beg for 5 minutes, you go on, you try your material, and in the beginning, you're just trying to get your timing and your words down exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the coolest things I found out is there is not much ad-libbing in comedy. If somebody says an off-the-cuff remark or he has a little throwaway line, chances are he's practiced it in front of a mirror 30 times to say it exactly like it was a nonchalant little line.
Hmm.
It's almost like theater. You have to know all of your lines, you have to know the timing, and if you miss it out, then you're going to miss a laugh, and it's going to be dead silence. And if you don't believe me, for 10 seconds sometimes, stand and just look at yourself in the mirror and picture 40 people out there wondering why they're not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the longest time in the world.
Hmm.
But I've performed all over the area. I've been very fortunate to perform with a couple big names. I was able to get advice from a gentleman named Bert Kreischer. He is on the Travel Channel as Bert the Conqueror. Hmm. The movie Van Wilder was made off of his life story. He's the real deal, and he sat one night after a show and gave me advice for about 25 minutes and was a very gracious gentleman. I've got to perform at Wiley's Comedy Club in Dayton, which is the oldest comedy club in Ohio. And it's really neat, Bruce. You go on stage, and before you go on stage, you're backstage. They don't really have a green room, and you're looking at the wall at all these publicity photos of people who have been there before you.
Mm-hmm.
And every comedian you can name in the 20th century, I performed on the same stage as them. Obviously not at the same time, but, you know, Jeff Foxworthy's performed at Wiley's Comedy Club. Chris Rock has been to the Dayton Funny Bone. It's just amazing that I get to stand on the same stage and do the same thing as all these people.
Hmm. So has it lived up to your expectations?
Bruce, I will just tell you that there is a feeling you get that is unlike anything in this world, organic, chemical, vegetable, mineral, or animal, that you get from performing and having people laugh at material you've written.
Do you write all your material yourself?
Yes, sir. I'm very strict about that. I got advice from a comedian I met over the internet. He's from New Jersey. His name's Mike Boyle. And this guy, and everybody in comedy has been very gracious. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to support you. They understand how hard it is. It's not, at least where I'm at, it's not as cutthroat as you would think. You don't have other comics trying to steal your material. You don't have people trying to steal your gigs. But I was told very early that if you write your own material and you deliver it yourself, every laugh you get is your own.
Hmm.
And it's kind of like the kid that gets the A+ for a plagiarized term paper. Yes, in the record books it says that he got an A+, but he knows at the end of the day that he wasn't smart enough to, you know, make that stuff up himself.
Sure, sure. Do you practice in front of a mirror like you just described?
I practice in front of a mirror, and I also have a camcorder, and I'll set it up, and I'll go ahead and take some video of myself. It can be very disturbing on stage if you have a nervous tic, or you do something unwieldy with your hands or your body or you pace. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to cut that stuff to a minimum. I'm trying to make it as... I personally am not visually pleasing, but I'm trying to make my act that way.
I see.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you've been able to kind of follow your dream. I think this came, and forgive me if this is incorrect, but it came really after your father had passed away, did it not?
Well, that's exactly what happened. My dad was sick with a lingering illness for about 2.5 years, and he passed away, and that was the day that I realized that tomorrow is not promised to us. And, I mean, if anybody else brings anything away from this, I don't think I'm going to change the world or anything, but I will just tell you, if you want to do something, go out and do it. Hmm. Don't say you're going to do it. Don't make a plan. Just go out and do it. And even if you're not the most successful person in the world at that endeavor, you tried. And you can lay your head down at night knowing that you tried to fulfill your dream.
Good words of wisdom there, Carlin. I know you use, in this case, coming up here, you've got an opportunity where you're helping others with your comedy. You do that from time to time, benefits and so forth. And we've got a benefit coming up on Saturday, October 19th, that we want to talk a little bit about. Why don't you go ahead and fill us in on that?
Okay. Earlier this year, my sister, Lisa, was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. And we have been battling that disease. And basically, there's a lot of expenses that are not covered. And a lot of bad things have happened financially that I really won't go into. But basically, we're trying to help her out. We're trying to show her some love and support, a hug, a card, a dollar to help with gas to get back and forth to her treatments, you know, whatever is what we're trying to gain from all this. But basically, we're going to have a benefit at the MacArthur VFW this Saturday, October 19th. We're going to start at noon. We're going to have chicken noodle dinners for sale. We're going to have a Chinese auction. We're going to have raffles. We're going to have 50-50 drawings and split the pots. We're going to have a car show. We've got, later on that night, we've got some bigger prizes that we're going to raffle off. We've got some tickets to a NASCAR race, and we've got a muzzle loader that we're going to raffle off. And then as the day progresses into evening, we're going to turn it into a party and a celebration, and we're going to try and enjoy ourselves while we're doing something nice for Lisa.
I see.
We have the incredible local band Eastwood. They'll be playing at 7 o'clock. They're going to play until about 9 o'clock. And then starting at 9 o'clock, we have a comedy show with some talent. And let me just take a little side note and say, when I mentioned the benefit, I had performers begging to get on the bill to come help out. Everybody that's coming here, they want to help out. A lot of them garner a pretty significant show-up fee, and they all wave that. They want to do something nice just to help out because they're truly good people.
That's great.
I want to brag on my lineup because I think it's one of the best ones that we've had for the comedy lineup. I've already talked about the guys at Eastwood. It's Chris Bethel, Sean Avery, and Troy Howdyshell. And these gentlemen, if you get the chance, come see them Saturday night, because before long you're going to have to watch them on TV from Nashville and all over the country. These guys are that good.
Yeah.
Then we have a comedy lineup. We're going to start out with Steve Pops Gaines. He's from Circleville, Ohio. He is a finalist in the Columbus Funny Bones Funniest Person in Columbus contest. We have Tyler Stewart. He is from Chillicothe. He's also a finalist in Columbus Funny Bones Funniest Person contest. We have Mama Katie Kessler. She'll come up from Springfield, Ohio, and she is the funniest woman in Dayton. She's the highest placing woman ever in Wiley's Funny Bone Comedy Competition. We have Jeremy Johnson coming from the Dayton area. He also has won the Dayton Funny or the Dayton Wiley's Comedy Competition several times. And then our headliner for the evening is a gentleman named Marcus Oglesby. and he has never got to come to the VFW before. He's always wanted to get on one of the shows. We've talked about it. And this guy, I've seen his act probably 24 times, and I'm still in stitches every time he performs. He's a showman. You guys will really like him.
Well, it's great to have that. That's a bunch of people.
It's a bunch of people, but you know, we're not going to stop there. We have local aspiring comedian like myself, Jared Sims, is going to be the host for the show. He's going to come out and give us a little bit of material, and he's going to introduce the acts and help things move along. And then they're going to find a few minutes for me to sneak in there somewhere to get out there and tell my own brand of humor.
That'll be great.
Well, we sure hope so. The local crowds, Bruce, I can't thank everybody in your listening area enough. Every time I come to a show and local people are there, I get such a warm response and people treat me well. You have no idea what it feels like to stand in front of your friends and just feel the love wash over you. It's just an amazing feeling.
That is great. And Carlin, I don't know that we touched on it, but there will be a benefit car show. I don't think we mentioned that.
Yeah, there's a benefit car show going on. It's from, I believe, noon to four. You've got the flyer in front of you. I don't know right. If it says so or not.
Yes, it does. Noon to four.
Okay. I'm doing yeoman duty this week. I'm doing everything from running up to Columbus and checking on my sister Lisa. She just had a surgery, and she's progressing very well. And we have we're very cautiously optimistic on things for her. So it's going to be a time of celebration also on Saturday. We're all trying to be happy that things are going in the right direction.
That's great. That's great.
But I'm running to Columbus. I'm gathering donations and gifts for the raffles. Today I had a gentleman come over with a complete backseat filled with dolls and boxes of dolls and all sorts of things to donate because he wanted to do something nice. Now, this is a guy that I met performing in New Marshfield, and he and I have become friends, and he just decided to do something nice. He just stepped up and did it. So, I mean, people are just wonderful.
Well, we appreciate you telling us the story of you know, your dream and how you followed your dream, Carlin, and we like the fact that you're able to use it. In this case, it happens to be your sister, but you also use it for others as well. I know you've done several benefits. And that is lots of love and laughs for Lisa that's going to take place beginning Saturday, October the 19th at 12 noon to 4 p.m., and that's the benefit car show. And then, as Carlin mentioned, a little bit later on in the evening, we'll go to the comedy route, and you'll get to see such stars as Carlin Haggerty as they get on stage and share their brands of humor. So, Carlin, thanks for being with us. We hope that it proves beneficial for everybody involved. I'm sure it will.
Bruce, can I just leave you with one final thought?
Surely.
I pray and hope that everybody that's listening to this never has to battle something as nasty as cancer. But if you do, I hope you get the love and support that our family has seen.
Great words. Thanks, Carlin.
Thank you, Bruce. We'll talk to you soon.
Great interviews there with Lori Gruppenhoff and Carlin Haggerty, and I want to again thank them for their time. I appreciate their efforts in the community, and thank them for being with us. Today in our Touch of Local Sports, Carl Knox talks with Vinton County Vikings volleyball coach Ashley Graves. So here's Carl and Ashley as they talk volleyball.
All right, thanks, Bruce. And this week on Vinton County On the Air, we're joined by Vinton County Varsity volleyball coach, Ashley Graves. How you doing, Ashley?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I know we're recording this Wednesday evening, and even though the Viking volleyball season is over with, you're still going over to Uniota, and you're getting ready to go into a tournament volleyball game over there to watch your niece play over there at Uniota. But we do appreciate you taking the time to join us for a few minutes and talk about the Viking volleyball program. You know, it's been a kind of a growing season for not only you but the girls. But I know you guys went 6-16 overall, 3-5 in the TVC, and then Monday night you got knocked off in the first round of the tournament, of the sectional tournament, to Chillicothe. We'll get into that later. But give me a little background. I know you played volleyball, and you are, how many years ago did you graduate from Vinton County High School?
5 years ago,
and you did. You just recently graduated. What, from Rio Grande University?
Yes, I graduated last December from Rio with a math degree and math education degree, and I'm just subbing right now until I find a permanent job.
Right, and I know that you have, in a variety of capacities and a variety of sports, both on the basketball side and now in volleyball, you volunteered for several years over the last, since you graduated, you know, since you got off the courts as a player. Besides being the varsity coach this year, what all capacities, not just in volleyball but other sports, have you done in the past several years coaching wise?
I did JV basketball for 1 year, and that was my first year of coaching, first sport, and then I did JV volleyball the next year and varsity assistant for volleyball, or varsity assistant basketball. So JV volleyball and then varsity assistant basketball.
Right.
And then after that, I was done with basketball, and I did varsity assistant for volleyball for 2 years, and then this is my first year as varsity volleyball coach.
It's got to be, it's kind of got to be a good thing that you're in close proximity age-wise to a lot of these kids you're coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But how has the transition been for you? And I know you're a very well-respected, very well-liked young woman here in the community. But in terms of going from being a player to just being thrust into being a – and it doesn't matter if it's a head coach is on a junior varsity level or varsity, how's that transition been for you? Or what's been unique about now being a coach?
The thing I like most is I've been involved so much with playing 4 years myself, and a lot of things haven't changed since then. So a lot of the game strategies are still the same. Obviously, I'm learning more as a coach than as far as strategies than I did as a player, but right. It's definitely nice to be in a school that I graduated from and know a lot of the traditions and things that go on in our school district, and then to play the teams that I played. And know people from those districts. That's been nice as a coach to have those connections just from playing myself in a district that I played in.
Well, and I'm sure that when you're a coach or when you're a player, sometimes you kind of second guess the coach, and then all of a sudden, and most people don't start coaching until, I don't know, 25, 30 years old. You've kind of been thrust into this a little bit earlier than a lot of people, but do you find that sometimes the easiest thing to do, be it as a player or as a parent in the stand or something, is the easiest thing to do is, you know, be critical of a coaching move, but it's a whole different dynamic when you're the one that's making the decision.
Yeah, it's definitely being in that position, making decisions, tough decisions, as far as if somebody misses a practice and then turn around and we have a game and 3 games a week. That's a hard role, but I had a very good coaching staff this year with Courtney Hale, and I mean, she's obviously coached for many years herself, so that was nice. And still, I have all the support of the administration and staff, so that is definitely great with Vinton County, knowing the staff and administration and having them right there behind me to support me in everything.
Now, Courtney is your assistant varsity coach, and then who was your junior varsity coach this year?
Kara Reed was okay. My JV coach this year, and it was actually her first year ever coaching anything, so she enjoyed that.
Okay, so that, and then like you said, as far as the administration, as far as having Matt Combs as an athletic director, as far as doing a lot of those organizational things, as far as officials and getting schedules, and then, you know, having Kevin Waddell, the principal there, it's got to be in your corner, because, you know, when you do have a difficult situation that you might have to face a discipline situation or make a tough decision, you know that they're going to be there to help you and have your back, so to speak. One thing I kind of wanted to mention, and I have a daughter that's been in this program for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, is for our listeners who didn't realize it, you know, obviously in Vinton County, one of the big things are the Little Vikes football program, and then Bob Grillo's county basketball league, both for boys and girls, has a huge turnout. But just recently, Cindy Trainer Wall along with the help of several other volunteers, kind of started a Saturday morning young girls elementary, I think, I don't know what grade, maybe three through six or something like that. But they have a volleyball, in-county volleyball league out at the high school every Saturday. And that has to, as a varsity coach, that has to kind of make you happy that we're getting these girls exposed at a young age and getting them interested in the game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Cindy and I were talking about it the other evening. We were at Lake Hope eating, and she was there with Caitlin, and I just went over to say hi to Caitlin, and she said, well, we need to meet and see what we're doing and find out what we can do to keep it improving. And she was actually talking about some of the seniors that just graduated. They probably, I don't know if any of the seniors did or not, but she actually started it kind of in a small organization when Caitlin was a senior.
Right.
Or Caitlin was a senior last year, but when Caitlin was younger and had the group going before the seniors this year. So hopefully those girls had played in some of it. And obviously, it's always nice for me to see the kids getting exposed to it at a young age, because they're only going to get better if they're right. touching the ball more.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, but it is something, and I know And the program I like, because it's nice, because I feel like I either live on a softball field in a gymnasium on a volleyball court. And the nice thing about the way that she runs this volleyball, it's always on a Saturday morning. You usually play two games, and they're usually close together, so you're not playing at 8 and then playing at noon.
Right.
But as far as from a parent's perspective, I know my daughter and all her friends really enjoy it. It's not a long, drawn-out season, but I think sometimes a lot of these different sports, at least on the Biddy League level, if a kid really wants to play, I'm all for it. But sometimes I think in the Biddy League level, we kind of overdo it a little bit and kind of burn a kid out when they're playing, you know, when they're in the gym 6 days a week or even 7 days a week. That's asking a lot for a small child. But I think Cindy keeps it on the keel of I don't want to say it doesn't matter who wins. There's a competitive spirit there. But at the same time, you can tell that she's trying to teach these little girls the culture of volleyball, you know, the sportsmanship. And she's, you know, in a lot of these, you know, when you're a third grader, sometimes, you know, it's not rigid by the rule that if they're back behind the baseline, you know, she'll let them serve up close to that just to get them, if for lack of a better word, excited about playing. And I think that's just that kind of mentality and attitude and the effort that she's putting forth, and the people that are doing that, it can only pay dividends for the varsity program years down the line.
Oh, yes, definitely. I've been there. I missed last Saturday for a JV tournament. We've actually been doing the concessions on Saturday mornings for the varsity team and varsity and JV for a fundraiser. And you can just see that the kids love it. They all run out and we play next, and we're so excited to win, and we're so excited to play, and they just love having their hands on a volleyball. And that's what I like to see as a coach, is that kids are enjoying it, and it's not, oh, I have to go to volleyball practice, or I have to go to my volleyball game now, that they're wanting to go and wanting to play. That's always what I want to see in my girls, even at the high school level. So I definitely think Cindy's doing a great job with that, and we can only make improvements to it to make the kids get even better and learn even more.
Now, as far as before we get to your senior players and then in your roster for this past year, just curious, on the middle school level, there is a volleyball program there as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. My coaches this year were Lindsay Janey. Mm-hmm. She did the 7th grade, and Wendy Stevens did the 8th grade.
Okay, because Wendy was actually my daughter's Biddy League coach last year, and the girls really loved Wendy, because that was she's almost like a kid herself with her very out, you know, extroverted personality, and she's a lot of fun. But
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she likes to, she enjoys the game, I think, as much or maybe even more so than the kids do sometimes. I noticed in the high school gymnasium this fall, these banners that you guys have started going to for not only the winter sports but volleyball, you had a slew of seniors. Like, was I counted 5 or 6 that you had this year?
We actually had 8 seniors.
8 seniors, okay.
Yes, 8 seniors.
If you would just name those seniors and who they are and how much experience each one of them had.
Okay, Jenna Kennedy is our first one. She has played varsity volleyball. She dressed last year and then played varsity this year, and she has played all 4 years of her high school career. Actually, all of my girls but one have played all 4 years. Megan Dixon has started varsity all 4 years. She is our setter, and she started setting her freshman year. Van Hale has played all 4 years of varsity. She dressed both on her freshman year, but she has played varsity some all 4 years. And then Lauren Mitchell, she's played varsity for 3 years, just dressing two of those, and then this year she started. Mm-hmm. And she played JV 1 year before that. Kelsey Kuhar has played 3 years. She didn't play last year and then came back this year as a senior. She had some other activities going on last year that kept her from playing. She was in a Queens contest that actually interfered with tryouts and then a game, so she missed last year but came back this year. And then JC Fowler, she played 3 years also. She didn't play last year either. And Jamie Park was our starting libero. She has started as a libero all 4 years of her high school career. And Fallon Johnson. Fallon has played varsity for 2 years and JV for 2 years.
Within the volleyball program, is there enough interest at Vinton County that you have to make cuts on the varsity level, or is it normally you can field a team without having to cut a player or move them back down to JV?
Yeah, we actually did make cuts this year. So every year that I have been there, we have had to make cuts. We actually had about 30 come out this year, which is a great number to have. But then it makes you have to cut. But I hate taking people away from the game, but I definitely like that our numbers are high. I don't know that I've ever, even when I was in school, had a total of 30 people try out for volleyball. So that was great for me to see this year.
Well, you hate to tell a kid, I'm sorry, you're not good enough to make it. You that's never an easy decision for any coach at any sport, any level. But like what you said, I think it speaks to the maybe the excitement of the volleyball program, that at least you have the numbers out there, that there's enough kids interested that as a coach, when you have that much of a talent pool to kind of get from, it's kind of a good news, bad news situation, but it does have a testament. I know when I was in school, the volleyball coach in certain sports, and I'm not trying to discredit volleyball or tennis or cross, it was kind of one of those things that they were begging people to come out just to get enough kids on to make a full roster, and now it sounds like you guys have got the program going in such a direction that you got the numbers coming out. But quick question before I get you out of here and let you go watch your this is Jeremy and Carrie's daughter, right?
Yes, it's Emily. Yes.
Emily. I know Kerrigan but Emily was missing the drawing a blank there.
Yes.
Are you doing anything with the basketball program this year? Are you taking a step back from that, or what's going on there?
I am taking a step back this year from the basketball program. I kept book last year, mm-hmm. And I may do that again this year if they ask me to, but I won't be helping coach this year. I haven't helped coach, actually for the past, this will be the third year that I haven't helped coach basketball. Just focused on volleyball for a while, and Mark Dixon obviously took over and did a great job with the basketball program, and has his coaches and assistants that do a great job for him, so I've just kind of stepped back and I help when I'm needed and help with different fundraisers if they need help when I'm in the off season for volleyball.
Right, and I think any coach would tell you this, and when you coach two seasonal sports back-to-back season, that's a lot of time, and you almost, regardless of whether it's basketball, football, volleyball, whatever, to just, like, you're just now getting done, and I'm sure there's as much as you didn't want to lose and get out of the tournament Monday, this is kind of a time for you personally that it's like you don't have to rush from subbing at Jackson to rushing up here to taking kids to Athens or wherever. You kind of get some time to just be yourself. And I think that when you try to coach back-to-back seasons, that's a long time to be tied up, for that many extended hours.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I enjoy it, but a break is nice for once. And
yeah.
I'm at the middle school right now, actually in a full-time, at Vinton County Middle School, in a long-term sub position right now for math.
Great.
And so that's taking a lot of my time, being in a full-time position. I'll be there until November 1st.
So you,
and I've been there since September.
Effectively been the teacher, in other words. It's not like you don't just blow into a classroom and read a lesson plan and you're there and you're gone the next day. You're the one that's got to make the lesson plans, grade the papers, and it's almost like you're a full-timer then.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, being married to a teacher, before I got married and my wife started teaching, I always thought teaching was a cupcake job that, you got your summers off, and then I married one, and I hear the grumblings every night that I want to watch CSI or a TV show, but I got a set, I got four sets of papers I got to grade, and I hear all that and I see it, and I think that once you're around a teacher a lot, at least the ones that put in the time and the effort, it's a highly underpaid job for the amount of work, and especially, you know, the pressures that teachers face, how it is now versus what it was 20, 30 years ago, kind of a different dynamic. But I do appreciate you joining me. I will let you get back to the volleyball game, and not only on the teaching front, but on the coaching front, wish you continued success, okay?
Oh, thank you very much, Carl.
All right. Thanks, Ashley.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Carl and Ashley. Appreciate you taking the time to bring us up to date on what went on this year in the Vikings varsity volleyball program, and look forward to good things there in the future. And so episode number 5 of Vinton County on the Air is in the books. Remember, I need you to contribute, subscribe, and share. Contribute show ideas and community information. Want you to subscribe by email or via a podcatcher like iTunes or Stitcher. And I'd like for you to share to all your friends to help spread the word that we're doing this, and it's a way to keep up on what's going on in Vinton County. So until next Friday, this is Bruce Knox. Take care, and I hope to see you on the internet.